How Does Coffee Cultivate Community? Listen to Kimmy Barton, the manager of Eastside Coffee Bar and Workspace, and find out. All right, Kimmy Barton, welcome to the Disciple Henson podcast.
Thanks, Dan.
This is your first podcast that you've been a part of.
Oh, yeah. First one.
I have a confession to make before we begin. I had instant coffee this morning.
Oh, I'll pray for you.
Thank you. Yeah. I need help.
What brand of instant coffee,
though? Oh, Alpha Grind. Oh. You know, you know, as an alpha male, I have to have the alpha grind.
Oh, gosh, that's good. I will say not all instant coffee is bad. Like, I drink instant coffee, especially when I'm camping. So it just depends on.
And what brand do you use when you're?
Kova.
Kova, yeah, has instant coffee.
They have really good instant coffee.
That's good to know.
It's not all bad.
I might have to convert.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if I could recommend the kind that I used at least this morning.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about the coffee shop for the majority of our time. But why don't you first just introduce yourself to our listeners? So who are you? Where you're from? Any introductory remarks?
Yes, I love that. Well, I'm Kimmy Barton, originally from Arizona. But I've been in Portland for 4 years now.
What part of Arizona?
Northern Arizona, Flagstaff specifically.
Okay.
So, yeah. People always mistake it for being a desert, and it's not. So Google it if you haven't been there. I grew up skiing, and it's just beautiful. I love it. So.
How do you like Portland? How's the transition been the last 4 years?
Yeah.
you miss home sometimes.
I miss parts of home. Like, okay. I definitely miss the nature, outdoor side of Arizona. You can go snowboarding and then within 30-40 minutes be in the desert laying on a red rock soaking up the sun. Like, very different than Portland.
Yes.
Winters.
So. Yes. Okay. That sounds amazing.
The last 4 years, I've definitely fallen in love with different aspects of Portland, and I do love it here. It's started to feel a lot like home in its own way.
That's so great. It seems like you've been here longer than just 4 years.
It really does. Yeah.
Did you find Henson pretty quickly?
I did. Yeah. I first visited only a few months after I moved here. I became a member like a few months later.
Okay. So did it come at the Henson come at a recommendation of a friend, or did you find it online, or how did you find us?
Yeah. My pastor back home in Arizona recommended it to me. He was like, if I could handpick a church you'd go to, I'd recommend this one. And I told him, I don't want to go to a mega church. And so that was my first impression of Henson.
You thought it was a mega church?
Yeah. Yeah. It was massive.
Because you grew up in church, mm-hmm. obviously.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And your parents are believers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My dad was a pastor.
Yep.
My whole life.
So. Okay. Okay. Yeah. And, but a smaller church.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Much smaller.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then what about anything else about your family? You obviously your parents, believers, any siblings?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm the youngest of four.
Okay.
And my three older siblings are kind of all in very different places spiritually.
Sure.
Either just not believers or maybe a different flavor of Christianity.
Okay.
They're also, my siblings are much older than I am. So I think we're all still getting to know each other now that I'm an adult.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, so I'm the only one in my family who's like a member at a like
evangelical church.
Yeah, okay. A Baptist church.
Interesting.
Yeah, so definitely different.
And why don't you share any interests that you have, any hobbies? This is how we often get to know new members. You've been around for a while, yeah. But obviously you enjoy coffee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's a criteria for becoming a member, it seems, at Henson.
Yeah, it seems like it.
Yeah.
Everyone loves coffee. Lately, my only hobby has been running. I'm training for a marathon, so.
Have you ever done one before?
Nope. First one, probably my last one.
At least you're honest.
Yeah. Check in a few months to see what hobbies I have after this is over.
Sure.
But that has been a really fun thing to be doing lately. So.
That's great. And you live here in the neighborhood?
I do.
So you live here near Henson and near the coffee shop?
Very near. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes too near?
Sometimes too near.
I understand.
But no, I love it. It's such a blessing. Mm-hmm. And I love this neighborhood. Like, I was walking through it this morning and it's such a beautiful neighborhood to live in. And then it really is a joy to be surrounded by so many friends. And
yes.
and church family.
Yes. So. Yeah. It's so rare to have this kind of community in a semi-urban context.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a real, real blessing. Well, we're glad that you're here in the neighborhood and that you're managing our neighborhood coffee shop.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about that. Why don't you tell us the origin story? So how did East Side Coffee Bar and Workspace begin?
Yeah. So, I obviously wasn't here in the beginning of the coffee shop, but the way I like to tell the story when customers ask is, you know, this building was just empty, especially that front area wasn't, it didn't seem like it was being used for that much. And the church who owns the building, Hinson, just wanted to do something with that space that was for the community, that was, you know, something helpful for the neighborhood. And correct me if I'm wrong on this, but legend has it that an idea that was being floated around was a laundromat.
That was one of the ideas.
Okay. I love that. I mean, I'm so thankful it didn't become a laundromat.
I don't know how serious we actually pursued that. I think this was like at the brainstorming stage.
Yeah.
But you would have been a fan of that. Would you have managed the laundromat?
No. I wouldn't have actually been a fan of it, but I think it's so funny to tell people like this room almost became a laundromat. Can you imagine that?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And kind of laugh with customers of like, but I'm so glad it became a coffee shop. And it could have been so many different things. But I think a coffee shop is one of the best ways to kind of serve the neighborhood and then just be a place for the church to interact with the neighborhood. So it's... started in August of 2019, which, as we all know, COVID came that next spring, and through just the leadership at the time and volunteers and really the church coming around the coffee shop, like we made it through COVID and didn't have to close or shut down too severely, which I really feel like is, you know, the Lord's hands on that, you know, protecting and providing for it.
And and just to be clear, followed all the regulations, obviously. It's a legit business.
Yes.
And so you guys had the little circles to stand on for the social distancing and masking required and
we
everything.
We had those on the floor, like, up until probably 2 years ago.
Sure.
I finally peeled them off.
Sure.
Like, we still had so many COVID leftovers.
Yeah.
And even when I started volunteering there, we all wore masks still. So we really tried to abide by the regulations, serve our neighborhood safely. And yeah, I started volunteering in the spring of 2021. And so we were still kind of in the last few months of COVID, essentially. Like, I think it wasn't until that fall that we could stop wearing masks inside.
What made you want to volunteer? Were you living in the neighborhood at the time? You're already a part of Hinson.
Yeah, I was a member at Hinson. I actually wasn't living in the neighborhood yet. I was still out in Gresham.
Okay.
But I was a teacher at the time, and I knew that I was going to be done teaching while I went to seminary. And I had all this PTO I needed to use up.
Yeah.
And the manager at the time, like, just knew I liked coffee, like any 20 something in Portland.
Yeah.
And was just asked if I'd be interested in volunteering. And I was like, yeah, that'd be awesome. So I took every Monday off from my teaching job, which was remote still, COVID time.
Right.
So it was really, I just didn't log into Zoom.
Okay.
And I got to come down and interact with people face to face and, you know, just learn. I think, Will Linder was a barista at the time, and he was the one who trained me, you know, on the first few shifts of the coffee shop. So.
Had you ever been a barista before?
No.
So that was your first time volunteering, in 2021.
Yeah, no.
Face-to-face, mask-to-mask.
Yep,
With customers.
Yeah.
Anything else about just kind of how, so in God's kindness to the coffee shop and to the neighborhood, the coffee shop endured through COVID, came back stronger than ever.
Yeah.
But anything else about the beginnings that you would want to share that we skipped over?
I think that's it. I mean, there was a lot of vision for what the coffee shop could be in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I think we're starting to see some of that, like, kind of blossoming right now, you know, just different events. I know that Before I was there, they tried like East Side Evenings with music and poetry and bringing in the arts or having art shows. And I think we've been able to see more of that happening, which is just, it's really exciting to see some of that vision from the early days coming to fruition now. So,
So I made a confession to you earlier about my instant coffee. I have another confession. I didn't think that Eastside Coffee, well, we didn't know what it'd be called, but as some of the leaders of the church and thinking about how to use the space, I'll be honest, I didn't think it was going to work because I thought there are so many coffee shops in this neighborhood and in Portland. Do we really need another coffee shop?
That's a fair question.
Maybe it's just because I can be a contrarian, but because I think overall the leadership was excited about the idea, and I saw other people excited, so you know, I had to be the person who pushes back. But I ended up being persuaded. But what is particularly unique about Eastside Coffee Bar and Workspace? What would you say makes this a unique space?
Yeah, because you're right. There are a lot of coffee shops in the neighborhood.
And some good ones.
Really good.
Yeah.
Good coffee. Very close by.
Yes.
And all walkable. I think, well, the obvious one is that we're a nonprofit. That's for sure the first thing that sets us apart is that we are licensed as a nonprofit, as an integrated auxiliary, apart from Hinson, you know, and with a long-term goal of being able to like donate, you know, more profit out to other nonprofits. And that we run with volunteers. We have more people on staff now than we did in the early days, but back in the day, we were completely volunteer run.
Yeah, you know? Wow.
So that's very different.
Yep.
And yeah, I think having the support, the financial support from Hinson early on really helped us get started. So those are the things that come to mind right away. But I also think some unique aspects of Eastside is like the space, the physical space that we have.
Yes.
Which allowed us to stay open during COVID, right? Like we were able to just spread out tables further apart and we can hold a lot of people in that front room. And then the outdoor space, like I frequently go to other coffee shops for fun and also research.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just have a big room and the grass area, you know, on sunny days like today, like it's beautiful. And not all coffee shops have that, especially in the East Side. Like,
yeah.
Finding a space to rent that's also big is going to be really costly. And the fact that we have our space, the size that we do, allows more people to come. So I think that's pretty unique as well.
It's such a, if for listeners who have never been to the coffee shop, just historically, the building was once an Assemblies of God church. And it's kind of this big concrete bunker. Yeah. But when...
Could use a facelift.
It could. Yeah. But if there was an earthquake, I feel like this is the building. If I had to be in a building, this is where I'd want to be.
Yeah.
The front coffee shop space is street level. So it's a very walkable area right on 20th, right near Hawthorne Avenue.
Yeah.
A lot of neighborhood people are walking by on a regular basis or biking by. And so it seemed right to use the space for the community because it's kind of like where the main church building a block away looks like an intimidating castle, which is kind of unclear on even how to, you know, invade the castle. Yeah, how do you get into there? It almost seems like there should be a moat around it. But the coffee shop space is very like the opposite. It's more inviting. It's again street level. You know, you got the doors, the glass doors right there.
Yeah.
So you can kind of see what you're getting yourself into before you enter.
100%.
Anything that would also be maybe particularly unique as you think about like what is it you're trying to do? Like what is your vision or goal with EC I always say ECBW.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, shorten our name. Yeah. Next thing. Yeah, get the acronym shorter.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I think, you know, we've played around with different mission vision statements, trying to figure out exactly how to communicate this. But I think it boils down to, we've had like the three C's have stuck around: community, creativity, and conversation. Hmm. So like, we really want to be in the community for the community. You know, when people are asking about us being a nonprofit and what do we do with those profits, you know, the goal would be able to give, some of our profit away to other nonprofits that are supporting our community, you know, helping with cleanup, helping people, you know, in life transitions, trying to figure out, you know, how to get off the street into work, or women's shelters. Like, we want to be a coffee shop that's invested in our community, specifically Southeast Portland, which needs a lot of help these days.
Yes. Yeah.
We also want to like build community here with our neighbors, and just like being neighborly, you know, and those conversations that we can have. We were just talking about how I think people crave genuine conversation, and oftentimes a coffee shop can be that space. So just building community through our conversations that kind of sparks like creativity as well. I think there's a unique aspect to Eastside that we're able to support artists with having different art shows or galleries, or we've had different concerts here, you know, kind of supporting the arts and all that. I've met several of our neighbors who are artists just by them having their artwork up in the coffee shop. And I think all of those three things is kind of like the motivation for why I come to work every day, is like, I love this neighborhood, and I love the people here, and we have such a unique opportunity to just be in, like, in our neighborhood with people. And yeah, I think building community is also foundational to what we believe, in a sense. Like, we're not meant to be isolated humans, but in community. And God's plan with that is like the church. And part of that is, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but like bringing other people into community.
Giving them a taste of the community that even maybe the church has, but also just as being good neighbors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just being good neighbors who care, who care about you. And
yeah.
And want to know you genuinely.
That's really encouraging. Do you ever feel like maybe one of the fourth C's is cleaning up vandalism?
Yes.
Yeah.
Frequently.
Is that pretty frequent that the building gets tagged?
Yeah.
And there's even been broken windows over the years.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you've been very patient and long-suffering in that regard. I mean, that's not just unique to our coffee shop, obviously, but just being in this neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, shout out to Andy and Parker and, you know, our facilities team who help. They really do a lot of the cleanup work, but it is... There's been some comical graffiti that's come across our walls before, and you just have to laugh, you know?
I think that's a great attitude. I think sometimes as Christians, we can get all fired up and feel like everything is opposition, but to be just gracious and understand that this is something that many of our other businesses in the neighborhood have to deal with, and, you know, just seeking to have a good heart and not getting oppositional in the midst of that.
Yeah, no, you just have to roll with it.
That's awesome. What encourages you as you think about the four C's, but the three C's and just your work over the years, both as a volunteer and now managing the coffee shop? What's like life-giving to you right now? What's encouraging to you?
Yeah, there's so many things I'm excited about with the coffee shop and what we're doing. But I think specifically in the last few weeks, just seeing so many of our regulars come in, and like at this point, like I know them, I know their kids' names, I know their grandkids' names. Like I can start on their drink as I see them walking up, serving them, and just this opportunity to like step back and be like, wow, me and several of the baristas like know our neighbors. And now we have like these relationships with them that go outside of the coffee shop, that like go outside of just the bar where I'm their barista. But now, you know, I get to go over and hold their new baby and celebrate with them, you know, and a new child, or invite them to a 4th of July barbecue, you know, and just now we're like friends. I just went on a run with two of our regulars the other morning.
Wow.
Who just over the last 2 years, we've just gotten to know each other, trust each other to the point where we're like, hey, let's go for a run together.
Sure.
And it's like starting to build. Yeah, exactly. That community that's like genuine and real, that I think gets me excited to come to work.
And, that's amazing. Yeah. What is it about coffee in particular in a coffee shop that you feel like lends to that that kind of sense of community?
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's something about coffee shops in general. Any city you go to, you'll see local coffee shops where people are gathering from a neighborhood and hanging out or working or reading a book or something. I was just reading this article the other day about like the third space, how we all need a third place to go in between work and home. And there's sociologists, people much smarter than I am, are seeing a shift in that, you know, where it used to be just like a restaurant or a bar, different things like that. Coffee shops are like the number one, like third location for people. Everyone has their coffee shop that they go to. But there's also like this subtle shift away from a physical place because of social media is kind of driving people more towards isolation.
Right.
Which I don't think we're meant for. And I think every human is like feeling like this tug against that almost. And like when you walk into a coffee shop, you're surrounded by other people. You probably aren't talking to them, but you're at least like in a physical space that provides, you know, food or something to drink and a safe environment to get your work done. I also think post-COVID with so many remote workers, people are feeling that like, okay, well, work and home are kind of morphed into one place now. And now more than ever, they really need somewhere to go to get work done. So many people who come in the coffee shop for the first time are like, oh, I'm so excited to find this place. I needed somewhere to go work, which is why we have, you know, workspace in our name. Like we want people to, come work, post up for the day, get your stuff done. And I think it hits at like this need for humans to like be around other humans, even if you're just all working, you know, or reading a book or something. Like we need that, and coffee shops specifically just cultivate that. I think like something for the hours of 8 to 5, you know, plenty of people have their favorite bar they can go to. But something about coffee just creates like, it's more of a positive experience, at least for me.
It's a positive addiction.
Yeah.
Because, you know, most of us maybe can't afford to like go to the same sandwich shop, like, you know, nor would it be good. People know that I love Lardo. If I were to go there every day, there would be that would be a problem, both on my budget, but also for my health, where coffee is, you know, that it's something that many of us do every day. This is kind of part of our ritual, is having coffee. And if you can come in and meet, you know, see people that you're seeing every day, there's something really unique about that.
Yeah, it is. And coffee shops are shifting more towards like, come and stay for a while. We'll have free Wi-Fi for you.
What's the Lardo's, Wi-Fi password?
Coffee bar, all lowercase,
okay.
All one word.
Okay, good.
No cap, no gap. So we say around the shop. If you went to Lardo and like posted up for a whole day, eventually they'd be like, hey, you need to go. We're trying to serve X amount of people. We have a quota for the day. And that's fine. That's how restaurants function. More coffee shops are moving towards like, actually, no, yeah, we want you to come hang out for a while and make yourself at home. At least that's certainly how Eastside functions.
Speaking of making yourself at home, who cleans the bathrooms?
Whoever closes.
Okay.
Yeah. So
Sometimes you.
Yeah, sometimes me. Actually, okay. Yeah, it will be tonight.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, thanks for that. Thanks for that service.
Oh, yeah. Happy to.
So don't make it too much like your home, maybe.
Maybe not too much like your home, yeah, because we will be cleaning.
What about the hopes and dreams that you might have for the future? Where do you see this space, this coffee shop in 5 years, or where would you like to see it?
Mm, yeah. So many exciting things. I think in one sense, I want us to keep doing what we're doing today. Mm-hmm. Like, I want us to still be here serving good coffee, mm-hmm. Like genuinely serving our neighborhood, and building those relationships. I think we'll see in 5 years even more longevity with our neighbors, mm-hmm. and just people that we've gotten to know. We'll see new people, new faces, new regulars. But I would just love for Eastside to be like known and established as like a place where you can go and have a positive experience, a positive interaction with someone, where like, yeah, you walk in, maybe you're at like a one or two in your day. And by the time you leave, you're at like a five or six, like you're feeling better or encouraged, mm-hmm. or just hopeful even, you know. And I think like that's the power of the barista, is being able to have a 2-minute interaction with someone and make it a positive one for their day.
That's great.
I would love to see even more community events, to some degree. They are a lot of work.
Yeah.
But it's worth it.
You have one coming up on Friday.
We do.
Hannah Kim
art show.
Great.
Yeah, be there, be square. It's gonna be great. We'll have other events throughout the summer, but just, yeah, I mean, in a lot of ways, I want us to keep on doing what we're doing with just more, I think like sustainability is what comes to mind, you know, mm-hmm. like as mm-hmm. we get quote unquote older, as mm-hmm. a coffee shop is mm-hmm. here longer, hopefully we're more sustainable in how we do all of those things.
That's great.
Yeah.
How would you characterize our neighborhood? Because you have a unique perspective.
Yeah.
I didn't prepare you for this.
No, but that's great.
I mean, whether you're someone who lives in Portland, but maybe not here in the inner southeast neighborhood, the Buckman,
yeah.
Abernathy type neighborhood. Mm-hmm. What are some things that have stood out to you about our neighborhood?
Mm. Yeah, I love it. We are... Yeah, we're a neighborhood that strikes me as a place where a lot of like remote workers are living. So a lot of people who live here work from home, mm-hmm. Or have some type of remote job that they can do. So that means they're here a lot. That also means you'll see people who are like probably in their 30s. Like you're like, you should be at a full-time job, like suntanning in the park at you know, 2 yep. p.m. on a Wednesday.
Yep. Or juggling fire, swallowing swords.
Yes, exactly.
I've seen both those things.
Both of those things. Yep. And they're probably just taking a break from their mm-hmm. their corporate remote working job.
We all have different ways of unwinding.
Yeah. I don't know if juggling fire is my...
teach his own.
Yeah, exactly. I think we're a funky neighborhood to that point, right? Mm-hmm. Like people have interesting personalities mm-hmm. that come through in how they dress or what they do for fun or what they consider to be, you know, downtime, you know? So I think we're kind of a funky neighborhood in that sense. I don't see as many families outside of like Hinson's families.
Right.
There's maybe I can think of like two or three other families in this area. There's a lot of just either single people, all ages.
Okay.
All ages of single people who live in the apartments nearby, renters, or partners, you know, two people living together, whether they're married or not, just no kids. There's a lot of those, that demographic in the neighborhood. And then like young professionals.
Okay.
Is at least what I'm seeing the most of. But maybe that's because I'm a young professional and I'm not, maybe I'm just missing out on certain demographics.
Yeah. No, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Are people, would you say people in this neighborhood are friendly, talkative? outgoing or more reserved?
Yeah. Just when I'm like out for a walk or a run, people will be like cordial in a sense, if you even make eye contact. Like most people don't even try to make eye contact. But if you happen to, you know, there'll be like kind of an acknowledgement of your presence. But I wouldn't say, at least my experience is that people aren't like wanting to stop and talk.
Right.
Maybe unless you have a dog with you. But even then, dog owners are a little like, oh, let's cross the street so our dogs don't fight, or something.
Speaking of dogs, are they welcome at Eastside?
Absolutely. Okay. We'll give them a treat.
Okay, so dogs who are listening, I hope you heard that. Yeah,
please come.
Yeah.
Yeah, we love getting to know people's dogs. That's actually one of my favorite ways to kind of break that barrier with people. Like I said, people are cordial. They'll be like, the Portland nice is so true. But they won't go out of their way to talk to you. But if you're like, oh, your dog is so beautiful, can I give it a treat? It like kind of breaks this ice a little bit. And then you know, slowly after a few visits, get to know the owner as well as the dog, you know?
So easier to learn the dog's name first.
I know most of the dog's names.
Yeah.
And not
then,
the owner's.
And then the owner maybe down the line.
Yes. Yeah. So
interesting.
I'd say people just need, I mean, I think they really need to like trust you to genuinely talk to you. I think a lot of people are, I get this sense of people are just guarded.
Sure.
They don't know you.
Right.
Why would they talk to you?
Right.
But they'll maybe give a little head nod or smile or say thank you for their latte or something. But
anything that you found that has been helpful other than dogs and breaking the ice and say going from having a cordial interaction to learning maybe someone's name and a little bit about them? Because, you know, you just shared you went on a run the other day with two regulars. How did you go from stranger coming in for a transactional, you know, you give me money, I give you coffee, to now we're running together?
Yeah.
Like any just wisdom you would give us as you know, we interact with our neighbors here?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's a big part of being neighborly is like having patience.
That's good.
You can't expect someone to share just their name or their life story with you on the first day. I found that even someone's name feels like a very personal detail.
Wow.
Especially in probably this neighborhood or this culture we're in now, even like a name can carry a lot of identity for someone. So it just...
Have you thought about doing name tags before, as you walk in?
Oh, like give a customer a name tag?
Yeah. Or like, here, please fill out this.
Please fill out this form.
Sorry. Carry on. I didn't mean to distract
you.
No,
that would be funny. I have not. But yeah, I think it's just being patient and longevity. And like the friends of ours that I went running with, you know, both of those gals, it's taken, you know, a few years of like, okay, they start to come in every day. Well, for someone to even start to come in every day, they have to like what you're serving.
Sure.
You know, or they have to feel welcomed there, and they have to have a few positive experiences to really become a regular. So then they become a regular. Then I start to know their drink, and I usually make a joke about, you know, their usual drink and something like just kind of acknowledging that like, oh, I'm starting to get to know you. And then one of the ways I'll like break through that ice after like several visits is like, you know, you come in here every day and I don't even know your name. I'm Kimmy. Like, what's your name?
That's good.
And I'll offer your name first, you know.
That's good.
Like, I'm willing to share this with you.
Yeah.
What's your name? And then, you know, eventually you find out what they do for work. And then maybe they bring their partner in on a Saturday and you're like, oh, who's your friend? And then you get to know just over time.
That's great.
So it really is like the long game with people of like, it's going to take time to really get to know people, but it's worth it. And it's worth like sticking it out and getting to know people. So
everything you just gave us there, Kimmy, is gold. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for your wisdom. And I'm just so thankful that you've had that experience in the neighborhood. And that's a good example to all of us. We're going to do lightning round now for the sake of time. How can we support the work and the vision of Eastside?
Come hang out.
All right.
Come visit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. What do you love about your job? You've already mentioned a number of things, but anything else you would highlight
Gosh.
That we've left out?
So much.
The dogs.
The dogs. Well, I always say I love other people's dogs. Like, I'm not a big dog person.
Okay.
But I do actually love, like, getting to know the dogs and, you know, and the kids, you know, the few families in the neighborhood, getting to know their children is always really fun. I think I love how much creativity I can have in my job.
Yeah.
From conversations to latte art to making the menu to figuring out, like, how do I break the ice with this one regular who, like, hasn't smiled at me ever?
Yeah.
You know?
That's a good challenge.
Yeah.
What's your favorite drink?
I'm a black coffee kind of gal. I'm so drip. Boring. Yeah, drip coffee all day.
And how many ounces a day for you? Is that too personal? I should share, based on your example, time. I need to share how much I have before I ask you how much you have.
See, you offer that.
So I'm kind of lightweight. So I'm more like 8 to 12.
Oh.
Yeah, 12 to 16 maybe sometimes.
That's probably healthy.
I don't know.
I'm... severe,
way above that. Okay. You don't need to give the gory details.
It's pretty bad.
Okay.
Yeah, I need to detox.
What's your biggest pet peeve at work?
What
do we want to avoid other than maybe destroying the bathrooms?
Don't graffiti the building.
Okay.
I'd say 16 ounce cappuccinos. If you know, you know.
Uh-huh.
But that's not a drink.
Okay.
And it just starts to bother me when that becomes a
good to know
constant thing. So don't order that.
Anything else you want to share?
I'm just excited about the coffee shop.
Like,
I love it. It's such a joy to work there and to work alongside our current team. I just have to give them a shout out, like our current staff. It's a really fun new group of people. Everyone's been there less than 6 months.
Wow.
So we're all still getting to know each other.
That's
and
great.
We're all still figuring out how to work together, but they're amazing and our volunteers are amazing right now. So I'm just really thankful for all of them.
Well, Kimmy, you've done a great job building a great team and facilitating just a lot of community in that space. I'm excited about what the Lord has for the coffee shop and even just coming into the warmer months here in Portland. I mean, the sun's out today. You could be enjoying yourself sitting outside on those picnic tables on the green grass.
Yeah, on the graffitied picnic tables.
Oh, is that right?
They're severely graffitied.
Okay, sorry about that.
Yeah, it's okay. They but are nice.
Thank you for your example. Thanks for all your work. This has been a game changer for this community, for this neighborhood, to have this space and the ways that you guys have worked and prayed and labored for the sake of this neighborhood. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Dan.
And thanks for taking the time to do your first podcast.
Yeah, it's a joy. Thank you.